now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
I just want to thank the whole team who did an outstanding job. Pastor Paul preached on the blessing, and then Jeremy preached on surrender last week, and all the leadership team who's taken care of the elders who've taken care of all of you while we were gone and blessed you and encouraged you. I just want to say thank you so much. And it was such a blessing to be. We went to Alaska for 2 weeks, and what a wonderful time. We got to see our son. He's stationed now in Anchorage, Jordan, my oldest son. He's there in the Air Force, and he spoiled us rotten. It was, I almost didn't want to get on the plane and come home. It was so good. And it was so beautiful just to spend quality time with my son and to see the healing that God's walking him through in his life. He's been through some very difficult situations in his own personal life, but God has been faithful to him and really has walked him out of some things and blessed him. And he just poured into his mother and I. Talk about grace and love and the kindness of God from a child's heart. We truly experienced that from our own son. It was truly a blessing from the Lord. And just rejuvenated our hearts. Long times of fireside chats. We went camping in Alaska. 40-degree weather, okay? I mean, awesome time camping. Don't try it without a sleeping bag, okay? We went fishing on the Kenai River. I caught the biggest trout of the season so far in that river. I've got pictures to prove it. It's my birthday. It was wonderful. And you know, if I'm preaching today and I'm like, oh, eagle, oh, a moose, I'm just having reflections back of my vacation, okay? I haven't lost it, okay? I mean, we saw moose, whales, we saw live bears, like outside our window, in their natural habitat, porpoises, sea lions, seals, beavers. I can't even remember all of the animals we saw. It was just, and you know how you see pictures of God's beauty? Yes. Everywhere you look, you saw the majesticness of God. And I kept just repeating to myself, oh God, oh Lord my God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You cannot deny there's not a living God when you go to Alaska. I mean, just so beautiful. And then my son was so kind to my wife and I, and at Christmas bought us a cruise in Alaska for 7 days to celebrate our anniversary. And so we celebrated our 30th anniversary. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? She didn't leave me there. She let me get back on the plane with her to come home. I'm so happy I get to spend another 30 years with her. Just amazing. So, and we are refreshed and rejuvenated. And sometimes you don't realize when you need a vacation, right? And so just a time to recalibrate and get focused. And we had a tremendous time together. It was just so beautiful. So thank you for releasing us and taking care of things while we were gone. It was so appreciated, well needed. And we're back in the saddle, ready to love you, hug you, not tickle you, just, okay, we won't go that far, but and minister to you as well. So it's just so good to be back here. Well, in getting ready to go, I wanted to prepare the word of the Lord so that when I came home, I would have actually something to talk about this morning. And the word that God has put on my heart for you this morning is experiencing personal revival. This is something that's really dear to my heart. It's a topic matter that I've paid a lot of attention to. It's a topic matter that's important to me. It's a topic matter that's revived my spirituality time and time again. experiencing personal times of revival in the presence and in the power of Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit's ministry as well. And so I want to talk to you about that, and I want to speak to you this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And there's a few questions that I've had to ask myself over the years as I've thought about revival. I went to a Bible school, Elam, and it really was hoping to prepare ministers for end time revival. That was the focus when I was going to school, and Danny was going to school, and Donna and Greta. That was the focus of Elam at that time, really preparing people for end time revival. And I always had thought that end time revival was going to be like revival that swept across the world and swept across nations and cities. But the more and more that I've experienced revival, it really needs to begin in the individual person. If there's not a revival happening in you, it can't spark the fire of the Holy Ghost and cause it to spread. And so often people come to church expecting the revival to happen, like it's to fall on the church, when we already have the Holy Ghost living in us. We already have the power of Christ dwelling in us. We have the person and identity of Christ dwelling in the inside. We have all the makings of a personal revival to happen in us. And so it's so important. But one of the questions that has really come across my mind is, how much sinning is too much sinning? How bad is too bad for someone to be and to lose hope of a future with God? I've thought of that question. I've asked that question. How late is too late for someone to be reconciled with God after behaving in such a way that's despicable when Christ is looking upon them? I've asked that question. And how simply disgusting and awful is it possible to be and yet turn back to God? When you look at this chapter, 2 Chronicles 33, all the answers are in that chapter. There is a great possibility. That's the power of repentance. And we see here in 2 Chronicles 33 how King Manasseh continued to sin and brought a moral and spiritual decline through his own rebellion of pagan worship and idol worship. And this guy forgot how good God was. God had brought a revival already to his father's leadership. King Hezekiah was Manasseh's father. And God spared King Hezekiah's life. King Hezekiah prayed. God answered that prayer, restored his life, brought revival to his life, and he led the country in revival. And they experienced one of the greatest deliverances of all time from the Assyrians. And Manasseh forgot it. Interesting that the name Hezekiah means the Lord has strengthened. And the name Manasseh means the one who forgot. Wow, that interested me when I learned that. And so here's this King Manasseh who was granted a godly heritage. He was given all the goods and all the makings to be a righteous king. And what did he choose to do? He turned his back, he outright rebelled against God, and he worshiped everything that God detested. Not only that, but he led his nation to worship Baal and pagan gods. And he did something that God asked him not to do. And that was he placed pagan gods in the house of worship, not only in the outer courts, but he went into the Holy of Holies and put statues of Asher poles and Baal in the inner courts. How many of us have in this room have really messed up with God? Oh, look at that. People put their hands up. Isn't that? The others, you're filthy liars. I'm not joking. How many of us have messed up before? I'll put up two hands to cover the guy who's not putting his hand up. Yeah, we've all messed up. I think I can safely say that all of us have failed God at one point, can't we? So, one point. Some of us might be saying, yeah, but you haven't blown it as bad as me. And when I come before God, I feel like a reject. When I come before God, I feel dismissed. When I come before God, I just can't find it in my heart to receive the grace to receive the forgiveness He's told me I'm welcome to have. And I want to encourage you this morning as I share this word that He has promised that when you come to Him with heartfelt repentance, His promises are yes and amen. Not one person is disqualified. Let's hear a shout in the house of God this morning. You guys are more excited when the Bills win than what I just said. I'm saying let's say yes and amen to the promises of God. That's awesome. I'm using this term, heartfelt repentance. And I'm using it for a reason. Let me define it for you. It's a feeling of regret. It's a changing of the mind. It's a turning away from totally and turning towards completely. It's a sincerity and genuineness of my heart as I turn in repentance and I confess the sin of my heart, and I'm able to, with my heart, receive the grace and mercy and compassion and forgiveness that God offers. Heartfelt repentance. Heartfelt repentance is a renewal. It's a renewal of our commitment. It's a renewal of our and a reaffirmation of our faith in God. And it's a renewal of our dedication to our faith in God. How many of you want to experience greater personal revival in your life? I do. I'm not satisfied. Can I tell you that? Yeah. You know, when I was out in Alaska and just looking, everywhere you look was a picture of beauty. Everywhere you looked and you saw God and the majesticness of God. And when you see the majesticness of God, and then you realize that you're one person of billions of people He's created over all this earth, but even beyond the beauty and majesty of the earth itself, and He's chosen to love you and I, forgive you and I. He's chosen to give us a purpose and a plan for our future. Something happened in my heart this week. And I took many walks around the ship. They had a track on floor 6. And so I do exercise every day. So I was making sure I was doing my rounds around the ship. But as I was doing rounds around the ship, I was looking out at God. But as I was looking out at God, God was looking in at me. And I realized there's some stuff in this old boy that I gotta let go. There's some attitudes. There's some behaviors. There's some old patterns of sin. There's some relationship issues. And I just said, God, I want to be free. I want a personal revival to experience in my life. And I was being rejuvenated day after day in the beauty and the majesty and the presence of our Lord. It was powerful. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Let's just read verses 10 to 17, please. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. What did they do? No attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shekels, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself, what? Before the Lord God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. What did he know? It wasn't that he knew that he was God. He knew that he is God. Why did he know he is God? Because he experienced God for himself. He activated his own faith in God. And he finally came to his senses and said, I believe that this God is the living God because I've experienced his transformational power in my life. God, he said, he is God. Afterward, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of Gihon Spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the Fish Gate and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of all the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, and as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem. And he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. I want to encourage you this morning that as we have heartfelt repentance, it will bring about a personal revival. Heartfelt repentance, not a casual, not I'm sorry, not an insincere, but a heartfelt brokenness in our heart. Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me. God will respond and bring personal revival to that area in our lives. That thrills me. And so I want to share with you some things that God expects from you and I if you and I would like to experience a personal revival. And the first thing he expects, I see found in verses 10 and 11, and that is God expects our attention. It says here, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. There were warnings all along about his hardness of heart. There were warnings all along that he was off doing something he knew and that was ungodly, wicked, and detestable in the eyes of the Lord. God set off alarms. There were alarms going off. I remember when we were passing through the secure systems going on the coming home from Vancouver, that the alarm system went off on one lady, and they took her aside and they searched her from head to toe. The alarms went off and something had to be done. Well, the alarms went off for this dude, and he paid absolutely no attention to the warnings and convictions of the Holy Spirit. Well, you do that so long, and God in his goodness, God in his grace, and God in his love will have to punish, rebuke, and correct us because we're sons and daughters of the Lord. You know, what happens is we all intervene and we think we're actually helping a person who is in sin. We think we're actually helping them by kissing their boo-boos. And we coddle them and we coo them when God's saying, get your hand off that situation. Get your hand off that life. I want to take care of that and I want to do business with them. I will love them in a way you can't love them. I will take care of them in a way you can't take care of them. And I will deliver them with a power that you don't have or doesn't exist in you. I can do that, says the Lord. Right? And so we think we're helping God and we're on a journey to be Saint so-and-so. And he's saying, let me do what I need to do. So this guy was not listening. We know he wasn't listening because he became king at 12 years old. His father didn't die until he was 22. So he had 10 years where his father was a role model for him. And so he didn't even pay attention to what his parents had taught him. He wouldn't listen. They were great role models. And so many parents today who are Christians have sons and daughters who are far from God or dabbling in sin and dabbling in the things of the world. And you're like, oh my goodness. And God's saying, no, remember my promises. And remember, just as I required of you to have wholehearted, heartfelt repentance, I require that of your son and your daughter as well. They're not exempt. Even though he had a godly heritage, he ignored his godly heritage. And so he went on his own. So God got his attention. And so you know how he got his attention? He put a hook in his nose. That hook is not a little, you know how they, you know, pierce their nose today? It's not that. It was a fishing hook. Now, we know it was a hard journey. You know why? Because from Jerusalem to Babylon is 400 miles. Sitting on a camel, somebody in another camel with this hook in your nose, dragging you all the way to Babylon. And that's what sin will do. Sin will drag you back into your Babylon. What is your pattern of sin? What is your language like? What's your attitude? Are you selfish, arrogant, prideful? What about your relationships? Are they truly healthy? How about your old patterns of addiction? Have you given those up? Or have you kind of put them on the side? Let me show you what I'm talking about. You ready? Okay, it's just like this. Many of us go shopping, right? And we get all our canned goods, right? We get our canned goods. They're for specific, and sometimes we don't use them, and so we store our canned goods. They're preserved, right? So we keep them and we store them in a cupboard or a pantry, as some would call it, and so we store it. And so many times when we're not repentant, it's kind of like that canned good that's bought, put in the pantry and forgotten. You bought it with a purpose, but you forgot it was there. And you're like, well, it's all right, it's canned goods, so it's going to stay, right? Really what it turns into in our lives is like spiritual botulism. But you see, God wants our repentance to be like fresh vegetables. You see, I have a can of peaches, but would you prefer a can of peaches or a real peach? Would you prefer a can of corn? Or a barbecue corn? Would you prefer a can of tomatoes or real tomatoes, right? Well, when God is looking at our repentance and wants our attention, he's saying to us, don't take the canned goods. Don't take your sin and hide it and think it's preserved in a closet. It's going to rot someday or other, and it's going to do something deep inside of you. Whereas if you're like a, something picked off the vine, it's fresh, right? And so when the conviction of the Holy Spirit's coming, he's hoping for a quick response. He's hoping for that moment where you look at him and say, I hear you. I'm going to respond. I'm paying attention. Feel God's calling us to pay attention. I want you to look up at this video, please. Let's lower the lights as well, please.
One night, I had a wondrous dream. A set of prints on the sand was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, yet mine were not along the shore. But then a stranger print appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? This print is large and round and neat, but Lord, it's just too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to seek my face, take up your cross and walk in grace. You disobeyed, you would not grow. You would not stand against the flow. Your neck was stiff, your ears were shut. So there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight, when one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave one's butt print in the sand.
It's good to be back. And so many of us wonder why we feel Jesus is not carrying us. He's been there all along. But because of his love and his care for us, sometimes he has to release us, hoping that as he convicts us and extends mercy and grace and compassion, we'll respond with heartfelt. What? What? Repentance. Because heartfelt repentance brings about personal revival. The second thing that I see in the scripture that God expects of us is that God expects an apology. He expects us to apologize. It says here in verse 12, he says, in his distress, we're talking about King Manasseh, he sought favor, the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. And we see here that Manasseh, he began to move in humility. And humility is the doorway to God's mercy. It's the doorway to God's compassion. It's the doorway to receiving that compassion that allows us to let go of that area of sin that we've hung on to and admit it and confess it and turn from it, not to just hold on to it and keep it in the cupboard and preserve it for a day when we don't feel so strong at all and we can go back to what we're used to. What you were used to destroyed you. Let me repeat that again because it's done that to me as well. What I was used to will destroy me. That's why repentance is so essential. And so he comes to a place in his heart. He realizes what he's done, and he humbles himself greatly. And I love that he put that word greatly in it, because it wasn't just this off-the-cuff type of repentance. It was heart-wrenching. It was a repentance that was speedily, diligent, intensive. It was exceedingly fast. I mean, it would be fast if you spent 400 miles with a big hook in your nose and then you were thrown into prison with shackles. That would get my attention, wouldn't it get yours? And people today are walking around in the spirit with this big hook from their nose. And the enemy is having a heyday, leading people back into bondage, back into captivity, back into old sin patterns, back into addictions, and he is laughing at you because you're not moving in the faith that God gave you to walk in victory. He's having the last laugh. Manasseh engages in this desperate pursuit of God. And he doesn't respond to an artificial repentance. And he realizes he can no longer ignore his Babylon. What is your Babylon? What is the thing that grabs a hold of you and puts you in a bad place? God's saying, I'm here today. If you'll just humble yourself, even as I'm speaking through Pastor James today, even as you're hearing this word, if you'll respond, I will immediately come and set you free and forgive you. Some of you are just hanging on, saying, if I put it in the pantry and I forget it, I don't remember it's there. I'm sure other people don't remember it's there. Can I tell you, God knows it's there. Right. Why? Because it's getting in the way of what he designed you for, and that's my next point. God expects our affection. That's what he longs for us, and we see that in verses 14 to 16, when he says, afterward, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon spring in the valley, and as far as the entrance of the fish gate, and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in and all around the fortified cities of Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the images from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord, and he sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. He had a personal revival, and he went and cleaned the house. He restored the protection of God around that nation. And God wants to restore the protection around your household, folks. And every time you deny that you're walking in sin and you won't confess sin and you won't leave your sin and you keep blaming God for your sin and you keep living in guilt and shame, you're tearing down the protective wall that he's built around you through the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of your testimony. And he says, folks, I built a spiritual wall to protect you, and I don't want the enemy to come in. So stand strong and stand with a right heart and make sure you have heartfelt what? Repentance. And you'll experience personal revival in your life. I want to come to you, folks, he's saying, and I want to revive you. And there was a rejuvenation of Manasseh's passion. He tore everything down in the city that represented wickedness and evil and idol worship. He went back into the household of God, and he tore all that stuff down. And where did he throw it? Outside of the city. We need to throw that stuff outside of our lives, outside of our relationships, outside of our homes, outside in our jobs. We need to stand for God and say, I am standing in the righteousness and the goodness and the steadfast love and mercy of a reviving God. Don't look so excited. You're like, you mean he took 2 weeks away and he came back with a word like this? Let's give him another 2 weeks. Assess where you're at in your life. What are you holding on to? What's in your pantry? What's hidden? What have you forgotten about? What has God been convicting you about, and you kind of just push to the side and say, nobody sees that. God sees it. What old relationship? What addiction? What attitude? What sinful place do you continually struggle with? And today is the day of salvation and setting free for you. It says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins be blotted out, and then the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God. Who wants to enjoy the reviving presence of God? I do. How about you? I do. Say, yes, Lord, that's me. Count me in. I want the refreshing power of God in my life. Let's stand and pray and ask the Lord to come and minister to us this morning.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.